Hare Om Sanatana Sanatana Sade Yandavahare Devasri Bhavani Namastomane Deshavahare Shiva Sani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So Narada Muni is continuing here. Dost thou worship Brahmins and wise men according to their merits and in respect of various branches of learning? It means that the Kshatriya, one of the main duties is to respect authority, right? So then they have their Brahmins in their court and that, or others around that they take advice from. And these Brahmins then, according to their merit, in other words, how learned they are, how much like sacrifice and different things they've done, what is it, you know, their spiritual standing, then accordingly you have to make a distinction and then respect them like that. Does that make sense? It's not that Brahmins, as in general, all worship, but those reporting upon their level, then is there. It's very important to be able to make that kind of distinction. Right? And wise men, okay, according and also according to the branch of learning, depending upon what it is, it's more or less senior, right? So someone who is philosophy, that's senior than, let's say, other branches. Someone who knows the rahasyas, who knows the secret meanings of things, that's more than someone who doesn't. Right? Does that make sense? Like that, someone who knows, in other words, the more they know, the broader the branches they know, then that's greater. If someone can just teach you the subject, that's respectable. But if they actually understand why it works, what's behind it, that's then more respectable than that. Does that make sense? They can advise you how to, you know, you practically use it in your life, that's better than that. They can advise you how to do that and go back to Godhead, that's better than that. Does that make sense? Right. I tell thee, such worship is without doubt highly beneficial to thee. Hast thou faith in the religion based on the three Vedas and practiced by men who have gone before thee? Right. So he's saying that worshiping these Brahmins then will be very beneficial to you. Right. I mean, this is the one, basically the one statement he's made. Everything else has been a question, right? But this one's the one statement so far after, you know, two pages of questions. Where he simply said, you know, are you, you know, this is good for you, right? Then it says, do you have faith in the religion based on the three Vedas? Do you, you know, in other words, do you accept the Brahminical culture? Do you accept the Vedic culture? You do, then that is proper. You don't, then that puts you in a different category, right? Basically, there's those who follow the Vedas and then those who don't. Those who don't, that's called modern. You understand? Right, like other religions have, you know, the faithless, the atheist, the you know, what is it? You have the Jews. It's the goyim, you know, that the non-Jews. I think for the Islams, it's the what is it? The infidels, you know, like that. The Christians, you know, it's just what they're savages or Philistines, you know, like that. And everybody has it. So the name in the Vedic for someone who doesn't follow the Vedas is called modern. Right, it's just the way it is. That's what Lord Brahma said. Right, yes.
Sometimes, for example, they take Chanakya as modern because he takes Shastra and basically he just develops it further. So, how you would call that kind of modern?
You call that modern? No, it's just see, modern man doesn't have a definition for himself. But you know, in the Manu gives a very very clear definition. You follow the Vedas, then it's eternal, Sanatana Dharma. You don't follow the Vedas, it's modern, because it's temporary. Right? So he is basing his teachings on the Veda. Right? He's taking from 20 different Dharma Shastras, Artha Shastras, everything like that, putting it all together. So his point, if it's not established on Dharma, then Artha has no meaning. So he's not modern. They just want to do it's modern time or this or that, but that's not the point. Modern has been there for millions of years, and Sanatan Dharma has also been there that long. As long as there's been Vedic, there's been modern.
Well, like how you take that when you have a scripture and you just further develop on it?
What do you take if there's a scripture you further develop?
Or writing new scriptures or based on old ones.
Okay, so you have Shabda. Shabda is authority. And then that has to be applied in your life, right? Because there's this idea that Vedic simply means philosophy or concepts or theory. But Vedic means you take the Shabda or the authority and then you, by contemplation, you bring it to where you can see it in your life and practice it in your life. That's Vedic. So that he's making it practical to use, that's still Vedic. Just like Vedic concept of history is you start before creation, then you come to creation, then you come up to what's happening today, then you go up to the future. That's Vedic history. So Vedic history always includes what the contemporary history. Because if you don't know what the next king is, what his history is, anything about him and all that, then... something I said he didn't like.
He was a modern dog.
Oh, he's a modern dog. Yes, he got rid of it. What to do?
Contemporary history.
Yeah, so the contemporary knowledge has to be there. You have to know what are the countries, what's the political situation, everything. So that's how you know, just like we see in Devayani. Devayani? No, not Devayani. Damayanti. Then when she found after she was lost in the forest, separated from Nala, then she came upon a city. And because, you know, she's a trained girl like that, she knew Vastu, so she knew where the palace was and how the palace would be built. So she knew then where the queen's quarters would be and where their courtyards are. So then she walked into that. Then coming there, then she asked for an audience with the queen. So then the queen, seeing her nature and everything, then said, why don't you be the one who trains the princess? There's a lady or a girl... Generally, it's another girl who trains the princess and everything like that. Guides them how to do everything, takes them through everything, how to dress, how to walk, talk, eat, everything like that. And so she said she would do it under three conditions. Like basically she won't take anybody's remnants, and I can't remember what the other two conditions were. So then the queen was exceedingly happy with the conditions and said she would accept her. And then she said, who are you? Because the conditions that she set, she said only someone from this dynasty would say that. So that's Vedic history, right? In other words, you know what's happening today, that's Vedic history. See, generally the non-Vedic personalities, they have a very distorted and uninformed concept of what is Vedic. Because Vedic is God's system. So if you want to go against God's system, be my guest. But God is complete, that means anything that comes from Him is complete. But they want to make it look like it's not complete. So that's why they're called modern. Because their thinking is not complete. Therefore, it only functions possibly now. It won't function, didn't function in the past, won't function in the future. Not a very good system. Right? Vedic knowledge worked in the past, it works today, it will work tomorrow. Like that. That's the difference. It's just an atheistic platform. It's just an atheistic platform. So, the idea is that do you have faith in the knowledge given in the three Vedas? that you will use this in your life, you will make things work. Because it does work. It worked for them. They were emperors of the world. Right? You know, and then you go across, you know, to other places and all that. You go across to China and other places. They were also kings then. They were also functioning. Otherwise, where did the kings come for the Battle of Kurukshetra? They all came from the hood or what? Right? They were coming from all over. They had brought in barbarians that wore, you know, animal skins and threw rocks as their weapons. Right? And Satyaki was so shocked seeing them, right? He's fought, you know, Kshatriyas, Maharathis, Atirathis. You know, he's seen the local Indian tribals, you know, because they basically dress and look and act like, you know, those who follow the Vedic culture, like that. But here he had guys wearing animal skins and picking up big, huge rocks. And when it's time for battle, running and yelling and screaming through the field at you with these rocks. What idiot would do that, right? Right? So then, you know, we see from history the Chinese weren't like that. You know, the Indonesians aren't like that. You know, nowhere in India anyone was like that. You know, the Middle East and that was like not like that. The only place we find like that is when you head over towards Europe. Right? They're the only ones in skins and, you know, rocks, you know, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So everybody was there, but that was the point. That's where they were at. When Arjuna is using astras, these other people are using rocks. Right? That's why they called it the Stone Age. Right? Okay? You understand? So, you know, that was, so there's always been these stratas of culture. Always has been. So modern man has always been there. I don't mean by, you know, the shape of his skull. I mean by modern man means the person with a modern way of thinking has always been there. Because modern means I only know now. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. So the Vedic includes the modern, but the modern doesn't include the Vedic. That's where the weakness is. Like that. Means the people don't properly apply the Vedic, they don't know this, they don't take it as far as the Vedic can go. But the Vedic is very practical, it works today, because you know how to apply it in today's scenario. Like that. You know, it's not some rules of a form, it's rules of qualities and a mental and intelligence. Like that. There's a natural form, but at the same time, if it's not available, you'll get it done. Right? Just like you have martial arts. So the standard martial arts will teach to anybody, you know, you use your sticks or your weapons and stuff like that. That they'll teach to anybody that, you know, basically can do it, has the skill to do it. You know, I'm talking about it. But then for someone who has good character and qualities, only they'll take them to the next step, which is teaching them the secret use of weapons, means how to use anything as a weapon. You know what I'm saying? But you don't teach that to people who don't have character. Does that make sense? So the more broad where, I mean, in other words, someone who doesn't have character, then they have to follow a specific form. Someone who has character can go beyond that form because they understand what is the purpose of the quality that they're dealing with. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's actually completely backwards what means, but that's what Krishna says in Gita. Means in how you say, for those who are in the mode of ignorance, then they take religion, you know, which is Varnashram, that to be irreligion. And irreligion, which is not the Vedic principles, to be religion. That's just standard. It's just, you know, and Krishna spoke that 5,000 years ago. So, and he said he spoke the same thing to the sun god millions of years before. So the knowledge didn't change. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't change, you know. You know, if I have a, you know, 1930s Stutz beer cat, right? So then the way to use it is the same today, you know, 80 years later, than it was then. You know what I'm saying? The machinery doesn't change. So the machinery of the material world doesn't change with time. People's perception of it changes, but that's called Maya. You know what I'm saying? This material energy is created by Krishna. So it works in a particular way. And whether you see it that way or not, that doesn't matter. You don't see it that way, that's called Maya. You see it that way, then you're not an illusion. Does that make sense? So what changes is basically the Maya changes. But the material energy, how it functions, doesn't change. How it worked, you know, millions of years ago, billions of years ago, it still works today the same. And after millions of years, it will still work the same. It doesn't change. It won't change. It's Krishna's energy. How it'll change? Right? Are dogs any different now than they were thousands of years ago? Same dog. Dog in America is definitely different from an Indian dog, and oh, so different from a Chinese dog, right? No, all dogs, they all relate to each other, they all do the same things. They just look different, that's all. But the mentality, their dogness is the same. That's what makes them a dog. Does that make sense? So, therefore, material energy doesn't change with time. All that changes is people's perspective on it. Therefore, the quality of their Maya changes. That's all that's changing. Right? You know what I'm saying? Music, you have unlimited melodies you can create, but it's still only seven notes. It's the same seven notes. Right? The same notes that Krishna and the gopis are using in the rasa dance are the same notes that are available today in the same ragas. You can sing the same thing today. It doesn't change. Does that make sense? So it's like that. You still breathe air today. You still drink water. You still eat food. Right? Modern man doesn't have a different way of eating food than before. You still have to put it in your mouth, chew it, and swallow it. Right? It doesn't change. Right? You know, in other words, you have to be pretty simple to think that, okay, if I put it in my mouth with my fingers, or I put it in the mouth with a fork or a spoon, or I put it in my mouth with the chopsticks, it's a completely different process. Right? Or I just put the fork and spoon on the table, or I have it all, you know, 20 spoons this side, 40 forks that side, and, you know, all the knives this side, and 20 different glasses, and all that kind of things, plates stacked up. That's a different, no, you're still going to eat in the same way. It's simply the environment has changed, but how you're going to deal with it is still exactly the same. You know what I'm saying? So that means those who say you can't apply the Vedas now are people who are not very thoughtful. They may be very intelligent, but they don't have a practical intelligence. They're not very contemplative. They're not very deep in their thought. Otherwise, what changed? You know, you tell me, what changed? All that changed is people's perception if it's good or not. That's all that's changed. So that means all that's changed is the quality of Maya, that's all. But the reality of what it is, that hasn't changed. And you can say, well, the perception is everything. But the point is it's still going to act no matter how you perceive it. You can perceive it however you like, it's still going to act in its own way. You know? You pick up the knife and say, don't get any closer, I'll shoot you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. Modern man can say whatever he likes, but it doesn't matter. Material energy goes on exactly the way it goes on, despite him. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the point. God's laws are superior to man's speculation.
Does that make sense?
So therefore he's saying, are you situated in this? Because if you are, then everything will work well for you, be prosperous, everything will go nice for you. You're not, it won't. It'll all fall apart. Does that make sense? Okay. Dost thou carefully follow the practices that were followed by them? Okay, so in other words, do you do what they did? Because those were the great personalities before, great Brahmins and the great sages, great kings. They followed, it worked for them. Are you following that same principles? Right? In other words, it's the principle, time, place, circumstance, you have to be able to apply it. Are you understanding how they're understanding it and then applying it like that? Yes.
Daitya Upanishad makes this point on the end, just on the end.
Taittiriya Upanishad.
You should act according to how they did. You perform activities same way. Your consciousness should be same how they did. Think that way. That's what he says.
Yeah. No. Means Upanishad also Manu says that you should do how the others have done before you do that. That's called tradition. Tradition is simply what the great personalities, how they understood and practically applied the Veda. Now between them and us, there may be people who are following that tradition but don't know why it's to be followed. So that's not considered the best. The point is when you're following, you know, in the footsteps of someone, you should know why it is that they do what they do. Then that tradition is alive. So what's happened is people will look at the tradition, it can't be explained, so they say it's dead. But Prabhupada said, dead or alive, it's still worth, you know, an elephant, dead or alive, is still worth the same amount of money. Because alive, then you get the elephant, dead, you get the ivory. So it's always the same. So the point is all you have to do is put life into it. The form is everything is there, you know. The car is started and running, the car is not started and not running. It's still worth the same. Because all you have to do is know how to start it, and it's the same. Everything's there. It's just all, it means it's just a small little adjustment. It's not a big adjustment. Oh, everything's so changed. No, nothing's changed. That's for people who are overwhelmed. You know, it's just like someone gets too emotional. Anything can throw them off, and oh, it's too much, I can't handle this. So that's all it is they have an intellectual overload, that's all. And any little thing can throw it off. So they're not in a good position, they're not in a good state of mind. So therefore, oh, there's too many things, how do you apply? No, it applies right now, you know, to you. Very easily. Right? But it just takes intelligence, practical intelligence to apply it. That's all. Is that okay? Our accomplished Brahmins entertain in thy house and in thy presence with nutritive and excellent food? And do they obtain pecuniary gifts at the conclusion of those feasts? Right? So in other words, accomplished Brahmins, not just people who claim to be Brahmins, but accomplished Brahmins, are you entertaining them, you know, like that? Are you giving them very nice food? You know, in other words, nutritive and excellent means the quality of its, the quality of the ingredients are good and it's proper according to the season, to the time of the day, to the particular person and all that kind of thing. Like that. And afterwards, do you give them gifts? Are you doing that? You do that for the Brahmins, everything will go nice. So we see here in this whole section then is, you know, worshipping the Brahmins, taking their advice, following the lifestyle they follow, like that. That's what actually makes the kings powerful. Right? Yudhishthira was so powerful because of his worship of the kings. Right? We see that when the Rajasuya sacrifice, when he was crowned as the emperor of the world, then he was feeding 100,000 Brahmins at a time with excellent food. Right? And he was doing that all day. So that meant he was feeding millions of Brahmins a day. Right? And it wasn't, and believe it or not, he wasn't using buffet system. Like that. Believe it or not. I know it was a practical impossibility to do it that way, but hey, you know.
Was Draupadi or Kunti who served Durvasa Muni?
Was it Draupadi or Kunti who served Durvasa Muni?
Kunti. And she also got that magic pot, I think, or something. Got the magic pot?
Draupadi got the magic pot. Okay. That was from worshipping the sun god. And then she would serve all the Brahmins. Because the point was, as long as she didn't eat, then when she'd serve, unlimited food would come off the plate. Whatever she'd cook, she still had to cook. You know, it wasn't the Western modern plate is it just, you know, gives you whatever. No, this is, you cook, you make the endeavor, so the devotion, everything you put into it, goes there. You put it on the plate, then you can serve it out to unlimited people, like that. So she got that, and then, you know, so then she would serve the Brahmins with that. And Kunti then, because she would serve Durvasa, because everyone's afraid of Durvasa. So she was the only one willing to take care. She took care, I think, for 1 year, right? So when he came as a guest, he just didn't go away. So, you know, she took care for 1 year, and because Durvasa knows nobody serves him, nobody can deal with him properly. So she did and didn't make him angry. So therefore he gave her the mantra, then she could call any demigod. You know, you don't have to worry about the local bozos, you know, called demigods. But, at least you know who they are, right? Okay. Thus thou with passions under complete control and with singleness of mind strive to perform the sacrifices called Yajnapeya and Pundarika with their full complement of rites. Right? So controlling the senses, controlling your desires, do you perform sacrifice? Because sacrifice means you're acting for someone else's benefit, not for your own. Does that make sense? That's what sacrifice is. So you see, if you think about it, relationships are based on sacrifice. So if you want a real relationship, then you have to be willing to sacrifice. And it says, with all their performing these sacrifices and with their full complementary rites. In other words, everything that goes along with it. Otherwise, one will say, I just want to do this. I don't want to do everything else. You know? Oh, I just want to cook. Right? You know, so I don't want to have to go to the market. I don't want to have to plan. I don't want to cut the vegetables, wash the pots, set everything up, transfer everything, serve it, you know. Oh, no, I just want to cook. Right? But would you call that person a good cook? You know? In reality, no. Because if you don't know how to eat, don't know how to serve, don't know how to plan, don't know how to, you know, prepare everything, how you'll actually know the cooking science? Right? So therefore he's saying is, in doing the ritual, are you doing everything connected with it? Otherwise, you just want this from that relationship. Oh, I only like to be with the ladies when they're pleasant and nice. I don't like it when they're not nice. But they're only pleasant and nice because you can that you're comfortable being with them when they're not pleasant and nice. Right? Does that make sense? Right? Like, Durvasa, difficult to take care of, but he took care of him. Then what kind of, how does he reciprocate? Right? Radharani took care of him nicely. Right? He gave her the blessing that anything she cooks will be nectar. And whoever eats it, you know, will increase their lifespan. You know what I'm saying? But who else has those benedictions that Kunti or Radharani has? Nobody. Why? Because they don't tolerate the difficulty. Does that make sense? So this is the meaning of it. It goes all complete. Otherwise someone would say, oh, he doesn't do that yagya. We don't do those yagyas, that particular yagya. Yajapeya and Pundarika. So this rule doesn't apply to us. That's what I'm saying. This is the minimal intelligence of the uninformed modern personality. Right? But otherwise, the same principle. The principle is, are you controlling your senses? Are you focused? Without focus, you can't get anything done. If you don't control your senses, you can't get anything done. Are you therefore, in that mentality, performing sacrifice? In other words, if you're going to deal with anybody in your life, are you doing it with your senses controlled and with focus, right? You know, how well does it go? How well does the breakfast go when you're sitting at breakfast, your wife's talking to you, and you're reading the newspaper? How well does it go? Right? Not very well at all. Because there's no focus. There's no sense control. Therefore, there's no relationship. Right? This is how practical and this is what this stuff means. You understand that, then you understand the Vedic culture. You just say, oh, we don't do this yajna, we don't do this external form, therefore the rule doesn't apply. Then, what does that mean? It means one's not very contemplative. The concept of manana hasn't come across. Though they claim to be very, you know, mananistic, you know, they have their little classes, you get together your, you know, seventh graders and then, you know, give them, you know, so, you know, if you had a bomb shelter and that would only hold 8 people, but 15 people wanted to get in, who would you choose? You know, the doctor, the lawyer, your mother-in-law, you know, your girlfriend, the Playboy bunny, you know, which one would you choose to come into the thing like that, you know? So, you know, and then the kid sits and, well, you know, if she got sick, you know, the doctor would be used worthwhile and all that, but, you know, that definitely wouldn't want the mother-in-law there, you know, like this. And so they've called this thinking, right? But in real life, that's not how it works. Real life, how are they teaching? What is the standard by which you choose this? What is the mentality? By how do you make that decision that you would want the doctor or not want the doctor? Right? Those value systems are not being taught. Right? So that's the whole thing. It's not actually intellectual stimulation. Intellectual stimulation means you can apply it in your life. You take, but the point is they haven't told what is the theory, so how do you know how to practically apply it? They've just given you a scenario. What would you do? Oh, what would you do in this? But that's what common people sitting around do. Oh, what would you do? You know? What would you do? Would you, you know, take the, how you say, very, you know, beautiful girl who is, you know, really good to look at, everybody's into her, but, you know, she's really nasty and, you know, she spends money like anything and she's very poor. Or the other girl who's a little bit more plain and all that, but very considerate and extremely wealthy. Right? Men sit around and do that all day. You know, would you rather, you know, jump off the cliff or would you rather be squashed by, you know, a Mack truck? You know, it's just, so, you know what I'm saying? So you don't call that manana. It's just a common thing. So now you just bring it into the classroom and now it's something super excellent. Before it's just common bar talk and now it's something very special. But it's still, where's the theory? So therefore, you can't take the authority and make it practical. So that's why it never becomes practical. Because it's only dealing, what's the scenario? But the point is in the situation, as we were discussing, if you have Sankarshan, and only Sankarshan, where's the relationship? Where's the actual, practical, useful relationship? Right? Because unless you're dealing with Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva, where's the relationship? In theory, you have one, but it's not. So they're just dealing with the thing. What is your relationship with those people? That's, they're not teaching. No one's teaching. So therefore, we say, it's not real knowledge. Real knowledge is how to take authority and apply it in your life right now. That's knowledge. Right? Does that make sense? So then, yeah. So then in this is that, in other words, an activity has to be formed with everything that goes with it. Right? Right? You want to deal with a family, then everything that goes with it, that you're going to deal with. Right? You want the baby, that means you want to be staying up every night for 2 years. You know, you want the wife, you're going to be buying saris for the next 25 years. You know, it means all these things, they go together. But no, I only want this part. But that's the cheating. That's the Ardha Kukuta Nyaya. I only want the golden egg. I don't want the other end of the chicken that, you know, eats so much. Like that, you know. What do you think the golden egg's made out of? You know, it's made out of something, you know. Does that make sense? So that's this is coming out of here. This is the point. The Vedas are always useful, always practical. Like that. But it's just not understood. Otherwise, how do you know how to judge your life, how to function in your life, unless you know what is the standard that you're supposed to attain? Right? You know, son, I want you to travel. Okay, where should I go, Dad? Well, I don't know. You should just travel, you know? Get on a bus and get somewhere. But where should I be going? Well, I don't know, you know. You gotta work it out for yourself. Every man's gotta find his own path, you know. Or say, find his own bus. You know what I'm saying? So they can't say, they don't know, but you say, okay, I want you to get here to this point, then you know what you should do. So now you could go by plane, by bus, you could walk there, you can hitchhike, you know, you can take a boat, you know, you could do, you know, so many things like that. But you, unless you know what you're trying to do, you can't work out what's the practical thing. You know, does that make sense? Yeah, so let's say. Bowest thou unto thy relatives and superiors, the aged, the gods, the ascetics, the Brahmins, and the tall trees, the banyan trees, in villages that are of so much benefit to people. Right, so in other words, are you respectful to all the different classes of persons and situations that you're supposed to be respectful towards? Right? Because without respect, the whole Vedic culture actually starts with the Veda respect for the Veda, respect for those who are following the Veda, and respect for seniors. So respect is the first thing. You don't have that, it just doesn't work. Right? Does that make sense? So the position you put yourself into, that is humility and tolerance. Then with that respect, relationships work. Does that make sense? O sinless one, causest thou ever grief or anger in anyone? Right? So you're ideally supposed to, when you deal, is not create any anger or grief. You want to get a point across, you say it in a way that they understand. Right? This whole idea, they hurt me, now I hurt them back, that's not very good. You know, that's for others. Kids will do that, ladies will do that. You know, the kings aren't supposed to do that. Right? One's supposed to avoid that. Right? Grief is, but notice the interesting thing, what's the connection between grief and anger? What's this common principle?
Frustration.
Okay.
Maybe ignorance.
Yeah, I mean, anger, frustration will give the anger.
Ignorance, basically.
So ignorance, yeah, because they're both coming out of ignorance.
The mind is not in control.
The mind's not in control. Okay. I mean, that's giving an indication. That would be a symptom, but what is behind it? So what's the problem when you're not in control or you're frustrated? What does that do? Means one is satisfied, you know.
Also, one is the result of the other one. Avirudha priti, avirudha krodha.
Okay, yeah. One is the, okay. That's true. What we're trying to get at here, though, is the root of it. Means it's insecurity, right? Means you're looking at things from the perspective of relationship. Then, when the relationship is strong, there is no anger or grief, right? Because anger comes from control, grief comes from, you know, not enjoying or loss or something. So in any case, there's a loss, right? So the relationship has become insecure. So therefore, losing it, there's grief, or there's anger because now it won't go on. A frustration, and this is how you want it to continue. So it just happens to be which way the wind's blowing. So whether it manifests as anger or grief. Does that make sense? But insecurity is the same thing. So in other words, don't say anything that will make other people insecure. Right? You have to give them, means, in other words, you deal with the nature, give them a way to move forward. Right? In other words, when you're dealing with the relationship, your answer, if, means, in other words, let's say in an answer, say something's very complex. You know, an answer that you're dealing with emotions, you're dealing with the situation, you're dealing with the relationship, then the first thing to do is deal with the relationship. The last thing to deal with is the facts and figures. Right? Does that make sense? Because the point is if it comes down to you say the wrong thing, it can disturb the relationship. Therefore, establishing the relationship is the most important. Right? Facts and figures, it doesn't matter. You know, you live under a tree, you live in a palace, that doesn't matter. If the relationships are good, what do you care? Right? But if you've established you got that palace, but you're there alone, what's the use? Does that make sense? So therefore we see, like Hanuman, when he was coming, he went to look for Sita. So then, now you say, you want to say that, you know, he can say, I found Sita. Right? That's the statement. But the emotional state of Ramachandra is so delicate that if he says, I could not find Sita. Or you could say, because you're dealing in Sanskrit, I Sita found. Right? That would be how it would come out. Because, but so found is last, so I, Sita, could not find. Right? Does that make sense? So what he said, he just started saying found. Does that make sense? So who's found? Sita's found. So you deal with that part first. Right? So therefore, in a relationship, if something comes up, the first thing is to deal with the relationship. You deal with who's right or wrong later. Right? We get into the whole who's right, who's wrong, as if that's the important thing. Is the relationship working or not? That's what's important. You understand? Right means it works right. Wrong means it's not working right. But the point is in dealing with it, so therefore making it work, that's right. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So this is what we can learn from the Vedic culture that you will never learn from the modern. Because modern doesn't base themselves on Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. And even if they get a glimpse of that, they don't know where Sambandha Abhideya came from. It's coming from God, it's God's principle. So therefore, unless you know God, you know God's the Shastra, unless you know the great personalities, you know Guru Sadhu Shastra, you actually don't really know what you're doing. Otherwise, why do these sciences change? Chanakya Nidhi is how old? 2,500 years. It's still used today as the authority on Niti. Right? You follow it, it still works. Why? So that's real. Right? But in the modern academy, how often does the knowledge change? Every 20 years is different. Because there is no standard. There is no fixed authority. That then, therefore, in other words, knowledge can deepen, knowledge can expand, but it's always based on the same authority. If it doesn't have that, it will move around, it will look like it's deepening, but it's all it is moving around. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no connection. How do you tell something's deep? Right? It means you have the surface, and then you compare to the surface, then you can judge between the surface and where I am that's deep. But if there's no surface, you're just moving around, what do I judge by? You know, the top of my head? Yeah, it's getting very deep, you know. My nose is, 4.5 inches from the top of my head. You know, it's getting really, really happening here, you know. Do priests capable of granting the auspicious fruits ever stand by thy side? Right, so priests that are able to actually qualified, are they the ones that are standing with you? Are they the ones that are supporting you and your well-wisher? Right? In other words, you should have priests like this. That's his point. O sinless one, are thy inclinations and practices such as I have described them, such as I have described them, and, as always, enhance the duration of life, spread one's renown and help the cause of religion, pleasure, and profit. Right, so in other words, what you're interested in, your practices in, are they in line with what I've said? And as always, those things that I've said always enhance, you know, life. Right? Increases life, increases one's fame and everything like that. And is the cause of religion, pleasure, and profit. Right? So then, would someone say that's bad? You perform an activity, increases your life. It makes you, you know, well respected in society. It increases the relationships that you have, the facility that you have, and your ability to take advantage of that facility. Would anyone say that's a bad position? Right? According to even the modern standard, would that be good? Yeah? Would you be considered successful? Right? Would you be... You know, would you be one of those ones who your seven habits are the ones that others are copying? Right? Does that make sense?
But for sure you will find somebody who would say it's not like that.
You can find anyone who can say it's like that. It means people will find fault with the spots on the moon. People found fault with Krishna. Krishna walked into the arena in Mathura, and some people thought, here's, you know, some punk kid who can't do anything. Right? Here's God, and they think. So the point is somebody who can find a fault, that's easy enough. That's not the big deal. That you can find a fault, therefore you're superior. That every rickshaw walla does. You know, I'm not joking. Every rickshaw walla like that can do that. That's the common thing. To be able to appreciate what is proper about something, then put that in perspective of what else is going on. then make a decision, that's intelligent. Otherwise, finding a fault and therefore thinking, yes, I'm superior, that's easy. That's easy. But who wants to live with people who can only find fault? So the only way you can be friends with them is you have a common person other than the two of you who you find fault in. Right? Western friends, right? You have three friends. They're all sitting together talking about a third party other than the three of them. One of them excuses himself to go to the bathroom. The two that are left start talking about him, right? As soon as he comes back, then they're not talking about him. Then the another person goes to the bathroom. Now the person that just came to the bathroom was just criticized by that other one. Now the two of them talk about the other one. And this way, then each of them, if there's two of them, talk bad about the other one. Then when the three are together, then they talk bad about someone else, right? And that, I'm not exaggerating. This is normal day-to-day Western relationships. And then they call this great. They call this deep. They call this, real. You know what I'm saying? But it's always third party. You really don't have a relationship with them. Yes?
I read in some guide which was written about America. It was in some book. And then they say, it's very common that in America they greet you, hi, how are you today? But don't reply to that, because they actually don't want you to get into a conversation. So you should reply, just say, yes, I'm okay, how are you? But don't reply kind of like more, because they don't want to talk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially if they're moving, then just say, yeah, great, that's all. But if they actually stop, then they might want a conversation. But if they're moving, then don't bother. It's like that. It's not good. Yeah, nice talking to you. Yeah, okay, how you doing? Yeah, no, it's like that. So it's very superficial. But they've found things that, in other words, a living entity needs experience, right? The mind needs to have an experience. That experience should be something favorable that you like. So, and of experiences, the more intense, the better. So all they've done is figured out how to generate intensity of experience, but there's no quality to it. There's no stability to it. So you can say those things, oh yeah, okay, it's very nice. It creates an experience. Or you get together, yeah, that way, you see that, oh, isn't that, and then it creates an intensity. But it doesn't have any meaning, doesn't have any value. You can't translate that into someone who's committed to you and is going to be with you. You know, is going to be your friend, your well-wisher. It doesn't translate into that. Because at any time, you can be the one they're criticizing. And you can be out. Or they'll upset you and you'll walk out. Does that make sense? So it creates enough experience that they don't go and jump off a bridge, right? But that's about it. Where's the substance? A group of punk guys standing on the corner checking out the girls. What's the substance? What are they checking out? Are they sitting there on the corner? And the boys are going, wow, she looks very chaste and all that. And yeah, can you see the shyness there? She covered her head and all that. And wow, check out when she walks, she walks very, very feminine way, very proper like that. Looks like a very, cultured girl and all that. And yeah, one of them says, yeah, like that. I wonder what family she comes from. Maybe we should, approach her parents and all that. Like that? Is that how it goes? No. So therefore, are they dealing with the girl, or are they just dealing with certain aspects of the girl's body that they somehow or another, feel are worth, looking at? So that's it. And they're doing it as a group, so then how deep can it go? And any of their dealings with the girl will be based on what the idiots in that group tell him to do. So it's got nothing to do with the girl that he's dealing with. And then they call that relationship. They call that boyfriend, girlfriend. It's so sad. It's just sad. that they miss out on human life and absolutely have no idea what it is. What is human relationships, emotions, experiences? They don't get. They just get the experiences of animals. That's it. And how deep can the animals go in a relationship? Right? Because they're always afraid. They're always insecure at every moment. It's really sad. And what's more sad is that then they'll stand up on their soapbox and claim that they're doing great and the Vedic has nothing to offer. When we see what is the depth of relationships here, what's available, and they'll settle for something so shallow and then think they've gotten something great like that. It's very, very sad. Right? Yes.
The animals, they have a principle of sacrifice. And besides that, other thing also that they can die for each other also.
Animals can, if they're in a group, they can die for each other. But that's those group ones, but you know.
Actually, the interactions sometimes are quite...
Yeah, but still it's only eating, sleeping, mating, defending, but at least they know what they are. You know, you're a bee, you know what the other bee is. You know what it is. But nowadays, you don't know who the other person is. They don't know. They live with them so long, and then after a while, who am I living with? Right? Because they were just thinking, you know, I'm living with a nice body, you know, but then... You know, what animates the body, you know? Why does the body do whatever it does? Because there's a soul in there, and that soul has a particular conditioning, and that they don't care about at all. You know? Right? And even if they say, I care about you, it means, I care about you when you do what I expect you to do. Not, I care about you is that, I know the nature, so therefore, you know, for, you know, better or worse, then I accept the whole package. Like that. You don't get that. So that's the point. The punk boys in the corner, the punk girls in the corner. There's no substance there. There's nothing to make a relationship out of. Like that. And unfortunately, they think it's going great. You know, it creates a little excitement. But excitement is potential. Excitement is not what you have. So that's the point. Before marriage is exciting, then they get married, then you have it. But there wasn't any potential in the beginning. So what do they have? You know what I'm saying? People can't tell the difference between excitement or potential and ownership. And because of this, marriages fall apart. So it's exciting. Great. But how long can it go on being exciting? Right. Oh, it's exciting. We're going to go to the market today and buy this. You know? Oh, hey, here we are at the shop. Oh, hey, here it is. You know? Oh, hey, now we're paying for it. And then once you paid for it, that's it. Then you have it. Then the reality is now it's in the bag. Now what are you going to do with it? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing that's completely missed in the relationships. Maybe missed. You have a question? Okay. So they mistake excitement as the complete reality. It's one quarter of the reality. And they're going to base the whole relationship on that. No, you have to have all four parts. Then you can say you have a relationship. Right? So that's the problem, is because without these standards, these Vedic standards, you don't know how to get all four parts. Therefore, you will be frustrated. Right? Okay, we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Question, is that related to this one? Is it about the three energies, internal, marginal, external energies, and then Larini, Samvita, and Sandini. What is the connection between these three? There's direct connection like that? Because I read it in the Vedic part. Honest, Tata Sutras.
There's a connection.
There's a connection. But that's why I remember
that. Yeah, it means there is a connection. It's not necessarily direct, but there's a connection. It means what is it? what do you say?
Ladini.
Ladini is internal potency.
Okay.
Then the Sandini, that reflection of that, then becomes is because it's eternality, therefore temporary ignorance.
It's a material energy.
So that's the material energy. Then the Samvit, then that's what connects the two. Then also the an expansion of that is the jivas, is the tathasta. The tathasta is an expansion of the Samvit potency.
Okay. Because it says that these three energies, they become those three energies.
They come across.
So that's like how
that. And that's also how you get passion with people. There's passion and goodness. So it's the same thing. So that's where the soul is concerned, passion. But they got to situate themselves in goodness. In other words, the tathasta should situate itself in Antaranga Shakti, not in Bahiranga Shakti, in ignorance. There's an ignorance he suffers, he does that, and his goodness is that. So it's all consistent. So that's the whole thing.
It is a special length.
Thank you.